thank you, everybody. Sorry about making everybody wait. Thank you all for being here. We're here to talk about a very important topic and something that all of our constituents all across the state have been dealing with. The Unemployment Insurance Agency for many years was falsely, I think that's important to note, claiming people were committing fraud. Up to 95% of those individuals, come to find out later, were not committing fraud. And one of the things important to note as well is that in many cases, in most cases, when you're filing for unemployment, many times at the lowest point of your professional career, and you're applying for jobs, you just lost one, and to be told by your government that you committed a crime, and then to have your money stolen from you and have 400% interest, is just unconscionable. And it's something that we have to make sure that every individual that went through this tragedy, the 40,000 individuals that had at least one claim, if not more than that, are made 100% whole. I think that's important to note. You know, obviously we should pay them back with the penalties and interest, but if they lost their home, they went to bankruptcy, we need to provide them every single service that we can provide them to help them be brought back to whole, because they did nothing wrong. And one of the things that we're seeing in the lawsuit that's been filed against the state is using the statute of limitations as an excuse not to make people whole. That is something that is unacceptable. When they stole their money, they didn't mind how long they looked back. We should make sure we eliminate the statute of limitation so that people, no matter when they were wronged, can be made whole. And this, unfortunately, has been a scandal that's happened repeatedly. And now we're seeing the data breach scandal that's happened. Before that, obviously, the 40,000 individuals that had the money stolen. And I think, one, we need to make sure we fix this scenario, but that we also need to go forward and give people a raise. For too long, people have been struggling when they lost their job. For too long, we've seen individuals need more than 20 weeks, and they need this. They need those 26 weeks to find a job and to make sure that they can put food on their table. And I think those are some of the things that we're going to be talking about today. We have a number of bills that are bicameral, and hopefully will be bipartisan, because this was a mistake that was made to constituents all over the state, not just Democrats, Republicans, Democrats, folks that have no party affiliation, folks that did nothing wrong. I'm going to hand it over to my good colleague, Leader Singh, to talk about the remainder of the package, and then obviously we'll stick around.
Great. Thank you very much, Leader Ananick. It's unfortunate we actually have to be here today. As you know, the Auditor General, when he came out with his findings a number of months ago, should have been the call for state government to actually fix this situation. We're here today because that situation hasn't been fixed. We're continuing to hear additional items. One of the most surprising reports was, while this agency was going after individuals, they actually had businesses that were not paying into the system. They knew who they were, and they were not actually using their staffing resources to go after those people. They were charging an individual, wrongly, 400% interest. But they weren't even going after the businesses who weren't paying into the system. And to have that report also come out from the Auditor General after we learned about these 40,000 individuals who have been impacted by that sent us, you know, fuming as legislators, but more importantly, on behalf of the residents that we support. They want to know why those businesses weren't paying their fair share into that system. Most were, but there are many that haven't, and those are some things we want to be able to deal with. So as Senator mentioned, there are a few things that we're going to be looking at in this package. You have in front of you not only the press release, but a one-page document that talks about our values that we see here that need to be fixed within the system. One is to make sure everyone is kept whole. That is a key component of this. We want to make sure that businesses who haven't been paying their fair share into this system pay their fair share. This 400% penalty is found nowhere else in the country. Nowhere else in the country. When you take a look at Midwest states, they're helping their people who find themselves in this tough situation. They give them 26 weeks of unemployment. We only give them 20. And when they did that 5 years ago, they said it's because the system did not have enough money in it. And we found out last lame duck session, when they needed to balance the budget, they actually took $10 million out of that fund that's got about $150 million in it to balance the budget. So a fund that they claimed 4 or 5 years ago was broken, that did not have the resources, they're now actually using that money, not to help these people, but to balance the overall state budget. That's wrong. And so that's why we're here today, is to tell the governor, to tell the agency, we will not allow this to happen as we move forward. We did have some bipartisan support in moving a bill forward in December, but that is not enough. It does not make these people whole, and it doesn't deal with the inequities that are within our system. And so that's why we're here today. I'm pleased to introduce Jennifer Lord, who's been working with a lot of these families, to talk to you about how this has been impacting them and their lives, and then we'll take some questions.
Thank you. I'm one of the attorneys that is working on the class action that is currently pending in the Michigan Court of Appeals. And it's a slap on the face to the workers of the state of Michigan that the Attorney General is still fighting that lawsuit tooth and nail. The agency and the Attorney General are making public statements day after day that they've fixed this problem, that it's gone away. It hasn't, and we continue to get dozens and dozens of calls a week for people whose wages are being garnished at a rate of 25%. Imagine finally finding another job after you were unemployed, and your first paycheck comes back 25% short. That should have been stopped. The government promised that it would be stopped, and it still continues. So we are asking that the agency be transparent with the citizens of the state of Michigan. As a representative of my firm, we are in support of this positive legislative move to try and make some systematic and fundamental changes with the agency. We think it's an important first step, but there's a lot of work to do.
We'll now open it up to questions.
My question is how did we get here? From your guys' standpoint, and maybe some of the more experienced members can speak to this, but how did we get to this point where the agency has been in the condition that it's in, broken, as you say?
Well, I mean, first of all, you start off by relying on technology and not people. So they, you know, implemented this MITUS program through technology that was supposed to help them flag fraud. And so that system, which we spent millions upon millions of dollars on, and that firm is still making money off of the state of Michigan today, they had a program that obviously was 93% wrong. How we continue to pay a vendor that does that is beyond me. But that happened. And we all got calls into our offices, Republican, Democrat, all 110 of us in the House, and then the 38 in the Senate. We all got calls. And so we've been working with the agency, but we didn't realize how pervasive it was until this Auditor General report came out. And so they had opportunities all throughout these last 3 years to fix things, and they did not. And that's why you see lawsuits. But I think for us, what we want to see is systematic change within the agency. You know, the director of the agency, it was reassigned. You know, if you stole money from 40,000 people in any other business, you would be fired.
That's right.
Okay, but this person was reassigned. So we have not seen the action that is necessary from this governor on this issue, and we're going to continue to press to make sure these people are kept whole.
If there's not enough money in the penalties fund, this $100 million fund, to make these claimants whole, how would you pay for that? Would you increase employment tax on the employers or use a general fund?
Well, first of all, we believe right now that there is $150 million in the fund. That was, you know, that's verified as we've moved forward. They claim, that being the administration, that about $60 million of that $150 was due to these higher penalties and so forth. So obviously, if there's additional costs, paying them interest on the money that they've been stolen from by their government, the fact they went into some bankruptcy and had legal fees and all those other things, there's obviously a significant amount of money there to meet those costs. If there are additional costs that cannot be met by that $150 million fund, we'll take a look at that. My sense is comes immediately out of the general fund because, again, this is a situation created by this administration and this governor, and we need to be able to rectify that.
No, that's it. That's a perfect answer.
The reason I'd ask the first question that I did is because I remember, what, 6-7 years ago when this fund was deep in the hole, and we had to borrow money from the federal government to take care of our obligations, and there was this keen focus, and I don't know if Senator Vita, you may remember this, but there was a keen focus of we have to crack down on fraud, and I guess I was trying to pry out of you if that seemed to be if we got a little too ahead of ourselves on trying to crack down on the fraud, and if this push to try and fill up the unemployment fund hole got a little too aggressive.
Well, I mean, I don't know, Senator, if you want to speak to that, but obviously it did, right? We have $150 million in that fund. They're using that money to plug in holes into the budget in other areas that have nothing to do with unemployment and people who are struggling to make ends meet. So they obviously have dealt with that. Other states are doing this. They're actually providing more per week. If you look at Ohio and Indiana, they're providing 26 weeks versus our 20. They came in and they told you, they told the citizens that the system was broken and they couldn't afford it. But obviously the system is flush with resources, and that's one of the reasons why we think we got to go back to 26 weeks. If somebody's having struggles making their ends meet, we got to help them not only get the job skills to get their jobs back, but also make sure that they're dealing with these resources at 26 weeks. Other states around the Midwest are doing it. Why can't we? And that's one of the reasons why we're focused on this.
I can provide I can provide a little context into the fraud concern. And we've done a lot of research into this issue. And historically, the percentage of time that a claimant for any type of benefit commits fraud is maybe between 5 and 8%. So yeah, that's important. And yes, we want to stop it. But what the state did is it implemented a system that completely removed the human element. So at the same time the $46 million Midas project was going online, the state laid off one-third of the workforce at the agency. So if this tool had been used properly, we all agree we need computers to help us flag problems. Once a computer flagged a problem, a person needed to come in and say, well, let me see the evidence that supports this finding of fraud. Let's talk to the claimant and get their side of the story. Midas didn't do that. It just went into hyperdrive and started an automatic collection process whereby notices of the fraud determinations themselves were sent out into someone's MyWAM cyberspace account that they were no longer checking because they had stopped they'd stopped receiving unemployment benefits years before.
But I think one thing that's important to note too, I mean, this is a computer system that we purchased, but the information that was put into it by this administration. So the tabs that triggered the fraud was something that was determined by somebody, and I think that's why it's important to get to the bottom of this. I mean, what measures did they put in place so that 93% of people were triggered back as fraud? I mean, if this was an attempt to make this fund from a deficit to so flush like it is now, we need to find out, were they within the law to do that? What decision was made to do that? Now that we have so much money, why don't we make sure that we go back and take care of the people that were wronged and make sure it never happens again?
You know, one of the problems that we see with the system is, probably should do the mic. I'm the old guy here, apparently. I get called out on that.
You're welcome.
Thank you. One of the most frustrating things for our constituents that I fielded calls on, and my colleagues have as well, is a sense of frustration in dealing with a system that did not have any sense of common sense, and there was no human element to it. And imagine how frustrating that is when you're dealing with an unemployment issue, and on top of it, you've got a system that is basically kind of run amok. And I think that's one of the more important things that we have to look at this. It's like they did a system, maybe an overreaction to ideas that there's some fraud out there, but there's some good things that they looked at this. But it went way too far, and obviously, if you take a look at the number of people who have been impacted in the state, it's quite significant and very, very disturbing. And that's why I think we're all here. And this is just a small percentage of our colleagues that could make it today. Actually, I like to think there's more of us on this thing, but there's both sides of the aisle. People have expressed a frustration with this, and we'd like to see something done.
Leader, so you addressed a little bit what it means to make someone whole. The state's saying, you know, we've paid back some of these people. We realized we may have erroneously charged 400% on. But what goes into your definition of actually making amends to somebody who was wrongly charged?
Sure. So some of the things that the administration is claiming that they cannot provide because they don't have the legislative authority, or these are some of the things that we are pushing forward today. So if we've taken their money, some people, 9 months, 10 months, I believe they should be paid interest on the money that the government had taken from them. So that's one. Two, many of them had legal costs. They got legal counsel. You've probably read in some of the papers that people actually went into bankruptcy. You actually caused divorces in some circumstances. And if there is any kind of legal fee attached to a bankruptcy that can be put towards this issue, not everything in that bankruptcy, but can be put towards this, we want to see that kept whole as well. So we want to make sure all those elements that an individual used to try to fight these claims and oftentimes we're, you know, not given the assistance that were necessary. There are advocacy programs within this department that people should have been given access to. Actually, in the bills that we tried to push in December, we didn't get as far as we would have liked, because the administration did not want to add some of these elements in here, and that's why we're pushing these things here. You know, again, like I said, there was one step that happened in December that acknowledged this problem and acknowledged that human touch would be part of any of these conversations going forward. But what they have not done is, you know, dealt with the whole issue within there, and that's one of the reasons why we're pushing again, you know, in this new session.
I saw Representative Graves is looking at doing some hearings on this very issue. Have you talked with him, Leader Singh, and are you guys on the same page on a lot of this stuff?
I've not had a chance to talk to the representative specifically. We spent a lot of time with our colleagues last December as we were trying to get the bill that was passed in session, that was Representative Victory's bill, and expand it to some of these elements. But we will definitely work with anybody who's doing this. Now, the issue is we did these types of investigations. We did have hearings on this. Representative McBroom within the oversight had some of those things. So we know the problems that are here. So really it's time for action. Now, if it will be helpful to the other side to get some of the new members up to speed, I don't have any problem working with them. But again, we know what the problems are. The investigation as well as the hearings have taken place. It's time to now actually move on this so we can make these people whole.
Do you think that there should have been more that came out of Representative McBroom's oversight committee at the time? Would you like to see some of the things you're proposing today come from them?
Absolutely. I don't care where it came from. You know, what has passed in last session after those hearings, after the Auditor General's reports, multiple reports, was one bill. That was all that was accomplished, in my opinion, last year. It wasn't until this year that there was enough press being put on it that the governor finally rearranged people within the department. You know, so we're making some progress. But again, if you're talking about trying to fix the system, make it work for people that are in the toughest points in their professional careers, it's not there yet. And so absolutely I would have wanted more done after those hearings were done last year. Well, we're finalizing those in the next few weeks. A few of these bills, we'll be phasing them in. The ones that are most important to us are making sure these individuals have specifically been kept whole. So I know Senator Ananick has been working on those bills. We obviously will be looking then at how we expand from 20 weeks back to 26 weeks. So in the next few weeks, you'll see those bills being put in from our chamber, and we're looking for bipartisan support. And I know many of our members from this day forward have been having conversations with our colleagues on the other side of the aisle, but now that we've got items where they can actually sign up to, we'll be doing that outreach as well.
I might need another assist from the old hat here, but when did the benefit go from 26 to 20?
I want to say that was 2011.
That's when the penalties were also, the ability to assess 400% penalities. That was legislative action.
Can you step up to the mic, please?
Yep. The 2011 was when the changes were made from 26 to 20, but as part of that overall package, it was this is where the 400% interest and penalty was allowed to be. So when the ministry, when the UIA agency says they're hamstrung from changing some of these changes because of the legislation that was passed on a Republican-only basis in 2011. So we can go back and undo those changes because they were wrong then and they're wrong now.
And just on that point, not to get into the weeds, but you know, I've heard that was a bill to reduce the number of weeks, and then they introduced these quadruple penalties, and it's been suggested it violated the, you know, title purpose business where you can only have one purpose of a bill. I mean, is that something that you've looked at in terms of?
Well, it definitely violated common sense. It definitely violated human decency. And whether or not they followed the rules or not, we can go back and we go back and fix their mistakes all the time. We can go back and fix this one as well. Unfortunately, not 40,000 people, you know, had to be harmed before any real action was taken place. So, you know, this is what Democrats are here for. We come and fix the mistakes that Republicans make.
After the emergency management law, you're surprised they broke the law.
Really? All right, so if there's nothing else, we'll wrap up and we'll take one-on-one. Any of these members are willing to take one-on-one with the press. Thank you very much, everyone.